This week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show is sponsored by Sailor King. It's available now on the App Store for free.
I know a magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish. For the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds. And the seas with ridiculous fish. The Touch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night. Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 391. We're actually recording this on Thursday, March 7th, because instead of the normal Friday time, you got some family stuff going on tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
We are going to see the Marvel, Captain Marvel. That's the name of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, like, the only showing that we could get tickets for was, like, weirdly early.
Yeah.
So normally we'd be like, yeah, let's just record in the evening, who cares? But I don't know. I guess people are excited to see the Lady Marvel hero, which is cool.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman did exceedingly well for DC, so I'm sure that this movie is just going to be off the chain for Marvel, right? That seems reasonable to assume, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was cool how, like, Black Panther did so well. It's like, you make a movie that, you know, represents these demographics that don't typically get to star in action movies, and everyone comes out to see it. It's kind of something you would think they should do more of, but whatever.
Yeah.
So if this is the first time you're listening to the Touch Arcade Show, it's probably going to be a little bit of a weird episode. The Touch Arcade, the website, as well as this podcast itself, is sponsored by, or well, powered by listeners like you guys. You can support us by going to Patreon at patreon.com/Touch Arcade. Or if you do any kind of Amazon shopping, we'd really appreciate it if you do it through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And we get a tiny cut of anything you buy through that otherwise would go to, I don't know, what's Jeff Bezos working on now? Rockets to Mars or something?
Sure.
I think that's actually a thing. Like, I'm not being sarcastic.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
So yeah, super, super appreciate if you do that. And, you know, if you want to update your Amazon bookmark or whatever, that would be neat. Otherwise, hope you enjoy the show and check out the website once in a while, toucharcade.com, for all your latest iPhone news, reviews, product reviews every now and again, podcasts like this, and other things that you'll like as a mobile gamer. So I guess to kick things off, this is, if you're listening to this on Friday, this will have been my last day officially as a full-time employee at Touch Arcade. I'm going to keep producing the podcast for as long as I possibly can. Like, I already carved that out as part of my new job, that, like, I need to be free on Friday afternoons to do this. Because, man, this podcast has been going too long to just be like, all right, see you, Jared. Have fun figuring that out on your own. Like, we're almost at 400 episodes. That's like, let's see here. I'm bad at math, so let me pull up my calculator here. So if we're at 391 times 60 minutes... that's 23,460 minutes of podcast time.
It's a lot of minutes.
Yeah. So I think it's like a month straight. If you wanted to listen to every single episode, you could listen to it for like a solid 30 days.
I wonder if that's depressing for anybody that has listened to every episode. If they're like, oh my God, 23,000 minutes of my life.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a thing. I was thinking about, like, so remember when, do you know who Roger Ebert is?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that was a Chicago thing or what. So, when he got his, what was it, like, throat cancer or something like that?
Yeah.
They were able to make like a, voice synthesizer that sounded exactly like him, because he had so much recorded audio that, like, I guess, the people that, like, whatever software company it was, where it was able to just, like, feed, like, all this content of him talking into whatever algorithm they have to like make a computer voice of his voice.
That's bananas.
So yeah, I guess in the future when I drop dead, if you guys want to hear what I sound like, you could just make like a Siri voice of Eli, and yeah, that'd be a thing. But anyway, so I guess to tell the story of me leaving Touch Arcade, I've been for about a year now following this small startup called Game Club that originally just kind of, I don't remember what show I even ran into them or whatever, but it was like their mission statement was like, hey, it really sucks that there is not premium games on the App Store anymore. And like when they do come out, it's like a lot of them kind of sort of, you know, I don't want to say like bomb, but certainly like don't do very well. I mean, like Odmar even, which was our game of the year last year, like, you know, when you look that up on the various, like, you know, App Annie and Sensor Tower and stuff, like that game has barely cleared six figures, it seems like. Again, according to the analytics companies, which, you know, it's, they're making guesstimates too, but like, it just seems wacky that like you could release a game like that that would be like, I think we talked about this during the game of the year discussion, like that game would be like a system seller for like the Genesis or something.
Yeah.
Like if that was the platformer that like launched with, you know, like if that was like, imagine you're like when 32X came out and it was like, it was like, oh my God, like the, you know, the games are so much more detailed. Like look at this game, Odmar. Like look at the, how crazy that just blends in, like the gameplay blends in with the animations and all this other stuff.
Right.
People would lose their mind. And now it's like, I don't know. Buying an iPhone game seems weird, which,
yeah, it's depressing,
which I don't know. I mean, like I've thought that's pretty messed up for a long time. And you know, like the, that kind of, segues into the fact that, you know, a lot of these dudes that make premium games, like particularly the older premium games, they were released at a time where like there wasn't a lot of other ways to make money on the App Store. It was like you just, you know, sold your game for a buck or two or three or whatever, and that was kind of it, right? I mean, and you know, like people give developers a lot of shit for not supporting their games, but like it's sort of like, you know, for on iOS it's kind of unprecedented to need to continually be updating your game compared to like any other platform, basically. Like, you know, if you designed a game when the App Store launched and it was like for the iPhone 3G or whatever, it's just like, okay, cool. Like here's my game. It runs on a, what was the original resolution, 320 by 480 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it runs on this screen. You know, like it, we made it down spec, so it doesn't really require the GPU of the 3GS. So it runs on the 3G and in, you know, iPhone OS 2.0 or whatever. And, you know, this is great. Like, you know, everyone's happy. Blah, 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 blah. And then like the iPhone 4 comes out, right? And this was the first time that we saw, you know, a bunch of developers being like, oh, fuck. Well, now what do we do? You know?
Nobody expected that and nobody planned for that. And it was kind of different than in the desktop world where there are a lot of monitors that have different resolutions. So you can kind of make stuff, you know, expecting that it might be on a variety of different resolutions, and desktop games always have, you know, all the settings that you can mess with and stuff like that. Like there was nothing like that on the iPhone. So there's really no reason to sort of expect something like that. I mean, in hindsight, it makes sense that they would get, you know, higher resolution screens and stuff like that, but nobody even knew that the iPhone was going to be a success. So.
Yeah. But I mean, like, so remember when that iPhone, it was the iPhone 4 that got lost at the bar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so when that got lost at the bar and like people were doing like the, like, you know, putting the screen under the microscope and stuff to figure out what resolution it was. Like, I remember like there was a lot of people that like just didn't believe that it could be the resolution it was. Like, there was a big like bunch of people on, you know, like Twitter and the Mac Rumors comments and stuff like that. They were like, this is wrong. Like you can't have a screen this high resolution on a phone. Like the technology isn't there. So it's really hard to fault developers for like, you know, when you've got The iPhone 3G, the iPhone 3GS, like a couple different versions of the iPod Touch, and like all of them is like the same screen, same resolution, everything else. Like, why in a million years would you be like, you know, when we're making these 2D assets, we should probably make them like ultra super high resolution just in case Apple ever like quadruples the resolution of their phone this year. You know, so the side effect of that, of course, was like all these developers got stuck in this kind of like weird spot where it's like, all right, well, this game's 2 years old. I sold it for a dollar. The art assets were drawn by hand, you know, and would need to be completely redone for it to not look like shit on the iPhone 4. So it's like, okay, well, and on top of that, it's like, oh, and I sell like three copies a day. So, you know, a lot of developers, like unsurprisingly, were just like, man, I'm fuck this. Like, I'll just make something new with that same amount of effort. And then their old stuff was just kind of like left just sort of chilling. And that was kind of like the, like thinking back on it, I think that really was the start of when you saw that split between like, hey, what's going on? Like, why aren't you updating this? Like, I don't think anything, I can't remember anything before then that was like, hey, this is significantly not great or broken.
Well, you also get the same problem as like when HDTV was starting to come around and everyone was getting an HDTV, but then certain channels didn't broadcast in HD and it looks like crap on HDTV. Like it looks significantly worse, a standard definition,
Oh,
than
yeah.
it would just on a regular TV. And you had sort of that same effect with the iPhone 4 where this crazy high resolution screen, even if some of the games were still working, it was like noticeably blurry and bad looking.
Yeah.
And so that always stuck out and it was always annoying. In the same way that like, you know, them changing the screen size to widescreen. And if a game, you know, they're like, hey, all the old games still work, but you know, they just have these black borders, but like it was annoying enough to be a turnoff to not want to play a lot of stuff.
So that sort of really sucked. And you know, like over the years, obviously we've complained a bunch about the 32-bit, 64-bit cutoff, like that smoked out the Touch Arcade app and all that stuff. And it's just kind of like unreasonable for you know, to expect developers to continue supporting things that they're like, some developers like actively even like lose money on the App Store keeping their old stuff up because they have to pay $100 a year to stay on there, you know. So anyway, these guys kind of like laid all that out, and I was like, damn, well, you know, this sounds awesome, and I would love to have some of these games that you're talking about back, because, you know, when they're talking about like updating and figuring out new payment models for, you know, like the classic games of the App Store, I was like, dude, you're pushing like all my buttons right now, and I know everything you're doing is a huge secret, so just like tell me as cool shit happens, just because I want to stay in the loop, right? And then like I don't know, the like Game Club kind of like built up a lot of momentum, and it kind of hit a point where it was like, all right, I need to decide, like, am I gonna join this company or am I gonna watch them join this company I think is doing something awesome that I've been following for the last year to make sure that they're able to do the stuff they want to do, or do I like watch someone else like take that job and then just kind of be frustrated that like it's not working as well as I would think I would be able to do it.
I look at it as like all the hopes and dreams we've had over the years for like Apple to announce things at their various events to do with gaming and stuff like that, and all the great directions they probably should have went that we think they should have went in that they never ended up doing, was frustrating to watch from the sidelines.
Yeah,
And
that was.
so you might be putting yourself in a similar situation where it's like, damn, these guys have a great idea and they're just going about it wrong. And I just wish I could reach in there and show them, you know, with my 10 years of knowledge in this space, you know, the right way to do things. So that's cool that you're jumping in and actually taking, you know,
So
advantage of that.
that's what I'm doing. I've kind of it's a weird feeling to, I mean, because like, you know, sitting on the editorial side of things, like, you know, my power to do things about stuff like this has basically been limited to like complaining. You know, which like, I mean, that's cool and all. Like, it feels good to put out like a really scathing blog post that everyone agrees with, but like at the end of the day, like that's not going to change anything. And it's I don't know. It seems like a cool opportunity to try to make the App Store a better place and bring shit that I care about back. And it seems like the TouchGrade community is going to really like some of the stuff that Game Club's bringing back, which so this week we announced Hookchamp is the first game that that people are going to be able to play that are in the early access program. And
can you say, were you involved in that game, or were they already on that before you came aboard?
Well, so, you know, when they were asking me, like, hey, what game should we get? I was like, I gave them, like, I was like, all right, here's my dream list that I would love to have. Which, like, you know, my dream list is, like, you know, the best games reviewed on TouchArcade that are dead. You know, like various Game of the Year games that no longer exist and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just like, hey, this shit's really cool. Like, I can intro you to some of these guys and kind of see where it goes. And
cool.
Turns out when you email someone and they're like, hey, you know that game of yours that everyone loves that's been dead for like 6 years? Like, can we just do all the work and bring it back for you and help you make money with it again? People are like, yeah, that sounds great.
Well, it's just funny that Hookchamp is the first announced game because that's such a Touch Arcade game.
Yeah.
And like back in the day, before I started working here, I believe, that was just like the hottest thing in the community with people like speedrunning all the time. That's where Mike Mead came from.
I believe
he came out of the woodwork for Hookchamp.
That game came out, I want to say like Halloween-ish 2008. So it is like as old as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And then when I really started sitting down and thinking about it, I was like, oh my God, there's a lot of games that I think, like just recently I realized Space Miner is gone. And I have no idea what Venon's up to, but like that was our game of the year in 2010 or something like that. And it's just this fantastic, amazing game that you could easily, you know, recommend to so many people that, you know, weren't playing iPhone games back then, but they can't download it. They can't play it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's like a crime.
I mean, like stuff as recent as like Landsliders, our game of the year. What was that? Not last year, but the year before. 16,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause Death Road. Well, I don't know.
Crash lands and then, yeah.
I have no concept of time. but yeah. So anyway, like the mission basically is like, hey, all right, let's get these, like, because the problem is like these games are like bona fide fantastic games, right?
Yeah.
And people like playing good games, you know, like, I don't know how much of my own farts in the TouchGrade community's farts I'm huffing here, but like, it really kind of seems like, you know, you're seeing like just a mass, like a you know, getting close to like a mass market fatigue of like freemium junk, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Which kind of makes you wonder like if the time is right for like all these old premium games to come back for people that are like, man, I just like cannot bring myself to play another match three because like I played this one and I spent $200 on it and I got jack shit in return. And like it's, and so to that person, like, is it going to be like super refreshing to just like play a game that has an end to it? That doesn't constantly ask you for money and stuff. Like I would hope so, but I don't know. So anyway, the point I'm getting at is like when Hookchamp was released in 2008, there was no other ways to make money with an iPhone game than just sell it for money.
Yeah.
And now there's like all sorts of interesting ways that, you know, in the last 10 years people have come up with to like maintain revenue in games. So basically, you know, reboot as many of these as we can and like try to figure out, you know, how we can make them like making money long term instead
even
of just,
like,
you know,
something like Hookchamp. You look at from today's perspective and you're like, okay, there was tons of unlockable hooks. There was tons of unlockable characters. You know what I mean? Like it would have been prime for like cosmetic IAP stuff that I think most people are pretty acceptable of. And then that game at its heyday had such a rabid fan base of people that loved it, and it was like $1.99 game or something like that. So some of the people that dumped just hundreds of hours into playing it, and all the, you know, speedrunners that were heavily into that part of it, I don't think would have had any problem just throwing money at it continuously because they loved it so much. and felt like, you know, they got it for too cheap or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, that's, I don't know, it's a weird situation. And like what I think is really cool about getting games like Hookchamp back online is that there's real, and I don't mean this in a bullshitty way, like there's real historical importance to a game like that, because it's like, you know, Death Road to Canada like was a smash hit for them. I mean, that was one of the few indie games that you really see that like was streamed a ton on Twitch and you know, like sold a ton and stuff like that. So it's, I think it's, and everyone has a phone, you know, so it's really neat to, for people, I think it will be really neat for people that are like, oh man, I love Death Road to Canada. And like, oh, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like this was the first game they made.
Yeah.
Kind of thing like that. I think is really, really cool to be able to do. Kind of like when you really like a band and you'll kind of like go back and like, you know, listen to like, you know, their really early albums and stuff. Like it's just kind of neat seeing, because like Rocket Cat has always had like that like specific style and humor and everything else that has kind of like really found its ultimate home in games like Death Row to Canada.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hookchamp is filled with all sorts of like funny, humorous bits that are right in line with that sort of thing. So
that'll be really cool. That'll be the kind of stuff that I'll be working on. So I guess if, you know, anyone listening wants to suggest like specific games we should try to go after, you know, you can hit me up in any of my various ways to reach me, which, I mean, Twitter, whatever, I don't care. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I'll be doing. So
what was the I'm a Millionaire app or whatever?
I am rich.
I am rich. Can you bring that back?
Man, I was just telling someone, I don't remember how that came up in conversation. I was telling someone about that a few days ago, and just strange times in the early app store, let me tell you. If someone hasn't written a book on the, so actually I was thinking about this too, like as I was kind of like looking back on like, you know, thinking of a lot of these old games in the early app store stuff, like the amount of shenanigans that people were able to get away with was seriously just bananas. And like, I really, if I had like one regret of being involved in this whole thing for as long as I have, it's like not keeping detailed notes of like weird shit that happened.
Yeah.
You know, because like it's real hard to put like a specific date on like, oh, I guess I'm sure you could probably like look it up somehow, but like, you know, a specific date on like when, like the app gratis stuff started to happen, and like when Free App a Day like hit that like weird critical mass where like they went from this weird website to something that was like very important to launching your game, and like all that other like weird history of the App Store, I think would have made for like a really interesting book, but like without the specific notes on like how and when and who, it's like, I don't know, the ramblings of a maniac that's been working in the App Store for way too long, I guess, would be that book. So, stepping down as of, I guess by the time you listen to this podcast, I've peaced out. Jared's taken over. All the same crew is sticking around, it seems like, and all that stuff. So do you wanna get into some of your thoughts on where TouchRK is gonna go? So I should mention, like, what's nice about the situation TouchRK is gonna be in without gone is that Jared and I both draw a salary from Touch Arcade, you know, so like when you reduce that, like the cost of running the site significantly is reduced when you lose one person. So should have the flexibility to go back to doing more interesting stuff instead of like constantly figuring out how to drive more impressions for banner views and, you know, all that kind of gnarly crap that we've gotten into just trying to survive over the years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the short term, nothing's really going to change too much. If you just read the website, it's going to continue being, you know, reviews and news of things we think is cool and, you know, significant stuff like that. But I do want to start to, as I was trying to explain to Eli, it's like getting back to our roots, which if you look at Touch Arcade in the beginning was really... Even that first batch of whatever it was, 800 apps on the App Store when it very first opened, and you see comments from people then that were like, "Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. There's just so many options, you know." And now we're in the multi-millions of apps being on the App Store. And so it's like Touch Arcade even back then was like, hey, well, we're going to, you know, keep our eye out for the cool stuff, and we're going to try out the games that look neat and then tell you about the ones that we think are cool and worth your time and money. And so I kind of want to just get back to that sort of like mission statement, I guess, is it's always kind of driven what we've posted about before. I mean, you know, we always post something that we think is interesting to us and that we think our readers are like. But we've also gotten into the habit of posting things that we think are going to do well with traffic, because it's just a nature of the beast is, you know, stuff like doing guides for free to play games,
Fortnite stories.
Yeah. Fortnite stories. And, you know, it's more and more like, I think that made sense for a long time, but I also think that, more and more it's making even less sense, because, we're rarely the one that's going to break the news of that sort of thing. And all the major, you know, companies that run like big free to play games and stuff like that, usually have their own social media, usually have their own newsletters or whatever, their own forums or chats. And, you know, it's the people that are heavily invested into those games already are likely not going to be like totally surprised to see by the time we post about like a Fortnite update or something like that.
Yeah.
Like chances are they already know, and they already know everything it's about. They saw it in game or whatever. And so even, you know, they're not going to be like, oh my God, I got to click on this story and read about this Fortnite update. It's going to be like, yeah, the Fortnite update that just came out that I know about already.
Yeah, that was kind of a big, like when we were first starting to like figure out how to cover Fortnite and stuff, it was sort of disheartening to talk to the kids I play Fortnite with, which, yeah, I play Fortnite with actual 11-year-old children. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Probably make you better.
They're so good at the game, it's irritating. But I always ask them, I was like, hey, this is a weird question, but like, you know, where do you, because they know like so much shit about the game, yeah. Right? Anything you would ever, like the depth of knowledge is bananas. You know, I'm always like, where do you go to learn about that kind of stuff? And it's always Reddit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
I read the Fortnite Reddit. I'm like, you never go to like, you know, like forums or like websites or anything like that. Like even like websites that are like writing like specifically about this, like, you know, new area of the map or new gun or whatever. Like, no, just Reddit.
Right.
You know, like if it's cool, like if it's cool, it'll get a link there.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's tough for us to try and beat Reddit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, is that like most of the time it seems like, you know, when we get a good story that gets posted on Reddit, like it does really well. But the way that people seem like they consume content on the internet now is, all right, I'm going to read the headline, look at the thumbnail, and just start commenting or move on to the next thing or whatever else.
Right.
Like the day of the like high traffic long form article is gone, it seems like.
And it's interesting because like I'm a good example of this, but like when Touch Arcade first started, it drew a wide variety of age ranges, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of older gamers like me. I was, you know, going into my 30s or whatever when I first started reading Touch Arcade. And at that point in time, it was like my normal console gaming life had slowed down a lot because it's expensive and it takes a lot of time and effort to play on the TV all the time. And so I was really drawn to like the handheld nature of iPhones and iPods, and being able to have like a whole bunch of games on me anyway. And that sort of really got me back into gaming, which was a lifelong hobby that seemed like it was going to be, you know, reaching its end. And iPhone gaming kind of renewed that for me. And over the years, I've noticed that there's a lot of people that are in that same position where they're like, yeah, I had kids and then I got married and then I couldn't sit down with my Xbox for 5 hours a night or whatever. So I just kind of stopped playing games. But, you know, when the iPhone came out, it's like I found these games I could play while, you know, still hanging out with the family or not, you know, ignoring them as much as, you know, playing on the TV would. And, you know, it just kind of fit into my life better. And that's what really drew me to it. And, you know, I feel the exact same way. And I feel like those are the people that I want to cater to the most, not necessarily older people, but just people that are like, oh, I really love like actual gaming, and I really love those types of games on my phone, and I want to find more of those things. You know what I mean? So I'd rather try to focus more on like the gamey games than, you know, post every single Drugalia Lost update or whatever. And try to really unearth some of the cooler kind of premium, not always necessarily premium, but at least, you know, not crazy free to play grinding machines with no end or whatever. Just trying to find the things that are actually worth people's time, and talking about those more. And I even had an idea of maybe trying to go back and actually start writing some reviews for some of the bigger games we've missed over the past couple of years. Cause it's always depressing when we do our game of the year list. Yeah,
totally.
Where it's like you want to link to reviews because you know, these are great games, and realize that we haven't reviewed them. And I think that's kind of a shame. So, but it also falls into that same problem of like, okay, a big game comes out, to do an actual thorough, you know, proper review takes time and effort. And then at a certain point, it doesn't make sense to post, you know, a review for a game that came out even a week ago, even like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like past traffic, the point. You know, yeah. Like, if you want it to get read a lot or whatever. so I think if we're not forced to focus on chasing traffic as much as we have been, then it makes sense to try and put stuff like that out just for the people that want and appreciate like actually good content, and maybe want to find some games that they'd missed over the last couple of years that we didn't have a chance to actually review or whatever. So I don't know. That's kind of the direction I want to go. I don't know how much it's going to make sense or if it's going to be even possible. We might crash and burn and have to sell our entire sales out to some huge free-to-play company or something. Who knows? But that's what I want to at least try before we throw in the towel altogether.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. I really hope it works out. It'd be cool to see Touch Arcade stick around for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, particularly with the crew we've got, are a crew of good dudes. So.
Set out on a journey from sunny, sandy islands across cold Arctic waters to dark, unexplored caves. Steer one of many magnificent ships and discover a variety of worlds. Put your skills and reflexes to the test to rank among the best. If you're ready for the adventure, try Sailor King, available now for free in the App Store.
But yeah,
I will say one final note is, you know, we've talked a long time too about how ad sales have just tanked. There was a time where all our banner ads and stuff would be sold out for like 6 months in advance constantly.
Oh yeah, or more. I think there was whenever, I think 2010 maybe, when like whatever year it was where like the, like, so everyone watched all the indies make a lot of money, and then like all the big publishers yeah. were like, well, fuck, we got to get on the iPhone. And yeah. then they took them like a year to figure it out
yeah.
and spool up their titles. Like whatever right. time period after that, I feel like we were sold out like for a year solid.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is bananas. It used to be a beautiful thing because it's not even something we had to think about. And the ads were just sold and we were going to get money for them and know we were going to keep chugging along and have money to pay for doing what we were doing. It was nice to not have to worry. Those were the days.
Yeah.
But since ad sales aren't what they are anymore, we do still try to sell ads when we can for the people that want them. But a lot of people, we really didn't pivot with, you know, this new version of the web that throws a bunch of pop-ups in your face and has really aggressive video ads and stuff like that that follows you when you scroll the page and things like that. That's really what you have to do nowadays to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we never positioned ourselves to be able to do, but also I don't would never have wanted to do.
The problem there too is like the more savvy your audience is, and I feel like Touch Arcade soaks up a pretty savvy audience that like
sure.
knows their shit, which is why yeah. they're at Touch Arcade, like the higher ad block rates are.
Yeah.
Like a friend of mine was a developer for like one of the, I don't probably should name the site because I don't know if it's a secret or not, but like a top tech site.
Yeah.
And they were seeing like 70% plus ad block rates.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking bananas. Like imagine how hard it would be to be any kind of business if like only 30% of the people that like came through your door and like used your resources and consumed your product.
Yeah.
Only did anything to help you keep doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a struggle. It's a huge struggle. And, in a lot of instances, I don't blame people because a lot of websites are well, virtually right. unreadable.
That's the fucked part of it is like, I would always get so annoyed when I would read, people rationalizing ad blocking on, you know, like mm-hmm. Reddit or, you know, wherever else,
yeah.
And be like, man, like what the fuck? Like this is, we work really hard and all we ask in return is for like a, you know, like 300 pixel by 100 pixel thing
yeah.
that you look at as you're on our website. Like yeah. that's it. But then like, you know, you think about it a bit more and like you read people's complaints and it's like, man, like fuck ads with auto playing audio. I hate those. And like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I hate those like full screen takeover mm-hmm. ads that like make you wait 10 seconds before you can see the website and like all this stuff. And it's like the internet has become such a place where it's like so hostile for people that aren't running ad blockers that like,
yeah,
it's like, I can't really blame people anymore, which fucking sucks because, you know, small well, we've websites always gone, that don't do that shit.
And we've always gone out of our way to make sure our ads are unobtrusive and that they're at least like relevant to stuff that you might want to read when you're reading Touch Arcade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've like put effort into that and have told people like, no, we don't want to advertise, you know, this, that, or the other thing, you know, when we had the luxury of turning down
yeah,
that
like,
sort of stuff.
I remember when we were first coming up with like our ad policy, and this was, you know, ages ago, but, you know, like it might still be like what Marianne sends out. I don't remember, but,
yeah.
you know, like you can't have like a GIF that blinks. You
yeah.
like, if it animates, like it has to like, I think there's like a limit as to how many times it can loop. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we came up with a lot of stuff purposefully to make it so like, you don't have those like, you know, seizure inducing, like click here kind of, you know, dumb ads.
Yeah. And it does suck. And I don't blame a lot of people for not wanting to put up with most of the other bullshit that other websites do, but it's a site that's tried to do right by all that. We get caught up in that mix. Very few people know about whitelisting a site they like or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so we kind of get caught up in that, whether we're doing it the right way or not, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, I really wish like when ad blocking plugins like started to become a thing, like the people mm-hmm. that made them kind of made it a bit more. So it's like, hey, if you're on a website that's super annoying, like you push this button and the ads go away.
For this site. Yeah.
For this site, instead of like, okay, like here's download this thing, subscribe to this rules list and you'll never see another ad again. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If there are people yeah. like us that like really go out of their way to like curate ads so they're not annoying
yeah.
and like, you know, the online casino pop-up junk that, yeah. you know, other people are running.
So. I've never thought about that, but that is such a shame because that would have worked so much better.
Yeah.
Then you could just be like, this website is aggressive as hell. I'm going to block it.
I mean,
and then the websites where it doesn't bother you, you're not even noticing anyway. You're not going to like block.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of. If I could go back and change things in the history of the yeah. internet, I don't know. I don't know where that would even be on the list, honestly.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. I guess that's the site update, changing of the guard, etc. I don't know. What else is there to say about that?
I don't know.
Nothing. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it seems like a big deal now, but I think it's going to feel like just business as usual, like doing the podcast on Friday. Like we're sharing a hotel room at GDC and like, you know, like, I don't know, like I'm still super into Touch Arcade. Like I want to like keep helping yeah. where I can and like,
yeah,
all that kind of shit. Like I'm just not going to be such a financial burden on the site anymore. And I'm going to be focusing on working on something that I think Touch Arcade people are really going to like. So
yeah, it's weird how, I don't know, when you finally revealed what you were up to, I was like, man, this is, I felt the need when I posted about it to put a disclaimer, but I also felt like anybody in their right mind would know that whether you're involved or not, this is something we would totally be all over.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't really worried about people thinking like, oh, you're just shilling Eli's new job or anything like that.
Yeah. It's like, okay, find one person reading Touch Arcade that wouldn't be stoked as fuck to play Hook Champion. Right.
And so, yeah, I genuinely excited to see what happens. I think going forward, like, you know, there can be a lot of kind of back and forth relationship because we're always going to want to be talking about what new games might be coming back too.
Right.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be kind of like still be working together in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah. No, and it'll be cool too, because like, I feel like, you know, I'll be in a position to help the site more, like when we have money to advertise and stuff like that. Like obviously Touch Arcade's going to be like our prime audience and shit like that. So,
So
hopefully, I don't know, everything just works out really good for everyone. And, you know, everyone is happy.
We'll see. I mean, the last couple of years have been such a struggle that it's been, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the times I feel like I've been just on cruise control in a lot of ways, not really
excited
like I used to be, because it's just been like, what the hell is going to happen with our site? Is it going to shut down? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, it's always been this constant anxiety going on or whatever. So I think for both of us, for you, it's probably a renewed excitement to be doing something new. And to be trying out something that's, you know, a new thing, trying to make it be successful, whatever. And I feel like that just the change is exciting for me, too, to see what can happen with Touch Arcade if we can maybe find a new direction that works or make things better for ourselves or whatever. I don't know. I think change is good.
Yeah, what I kind of wonder, and it'll be interesting to see kind of like where this goes, is it always was kind of a big struggle for me to like figure out like, what do you do to get people to like really back the site on Patreon? I mean, like right now we do the video podcast and like, you know, our most hardcore fans like really love this shit.
Yeah.
But it was always really hard to come up with any kind of justification for like more Patreon exclusive content than that, because it was always like, okay, well, like, say, for instance, like, what was the last free-to-play game guide we put up was that Skylanders one, right?
Yeah.
So a guide like that exists. So when people go to Google and type in, I don't even know, how to unlock Spyro or whatever, like, they find that guide and they come and they click it and, you know, read Touch Arcade and stuff like that. So, like, having that guide behind, like, you know, as like a Patreon backer exclusive thing, like, oh yeah, all right, we worked extra hard on this like cool article just for you guys, like, thanks for supporting us, like, that would actively hurt us more than it would help us.
Yeah.
But like, if you could figure out a way to not be so dependent on like all that Google traffic stuff, like at that point like it begins to make a lot of sense to start putting more and more stuff on Patreon.
Yeah.
To kind of be like, all right, like, well, you, dude, if you want to read the review of, you know, I don't like whatever game you can come up with that came out last year that is really worth the review, but, you know, it didn't, like, maybe that goes up on Patreon, like, you know, a week or two ahead of time, or, or maybe it only goes up on Patreon. Like, I don't know how that would all work out, but that was always kind of the problem, is there was no real great, like, value proposition for Patreon people beyond, I like Touch Arcade, here's money.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Whereas like most, if not all of the Patreons I back. So like, for instance, like the Doughboys podcast, which I really like, they do, you get 2 episodes per week. So if you aren't a Patreon subscriber, you only get access to half the content they put out. And they kind of like, because it's like a comedy podcast, like they kind of like reference previous episodes a lot. And if you aren't on the Patreon, like you still listen, and it's a funny show and, you know, really enjoyable and shit, but it's like, there's that like real genuine feeling of like FOMO.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh man, I wish like I got this joke that they're talking about from like the other podcasts from this stuff, you know? So like, so that for me was really easy to be like, yeah, dude, sure. Like here's $5. Like I love the stuff you guys do. Like I want all the content instead of half the content.
Yeah.
Because like when you're podcast, you're not beholden to like, all right, how much Google traffic can I generate on this episode kind of thing. So it's a little different, but
yeah, I was thinking that I'd like to focus more on trying to get more people to sign up for Patreon, knowing, that they're going to try and be getting more good content or whatever. And something that I thought of was maybe having, if we go back and do back reviews, or maybe even re-review really old games that have gotten a lot of updates or weird things like that, putting them behind, you know, a Patreon paywall, just for those sort of hardcore people that like us enough to pay us to get it early or whatever.
Yeah.
And trying to think of some other things too, like maybe even like hosting giveaways or something like that. Something to motivate somebody to be like, okay, I'm going to give you some money per month.
Yeah.
Like a subscription.
It's a delicate balance of like, yeah. how do you make people feel like just enough FOMO that they're like, all right, yeah, cool, I'm in.
Yeah.
Without like getting mad that like, because that was always my struggle, is like figuring out like, okay, like we could do this stuff.
Yeah.
We put reviews on Patreon and stuff like that, but like, how do you make the people mad that maybe have supported the site, or how do you avoid making the people mad that like maybe have supported the site for like 10 years by like commenting on every article and like tweeting everything we do? And it's like all those things, like, you know, interactions have value too. Engagement has value.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a weird world being in.
It's a nut publishing. We haven't been able to crack for 10 years. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm really, really stoked to see kind of like what comes of all this. And, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hopefully I can
help. Me too. I'm rejuvenated for the future right now. After being kind of down in the dumps about everything for a while. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you got a lot of stuff coming up between like, you know, figuring out like a new direction for Touch Arcade, like Pam's super pregnant and all that kind of stuff. So exciting times ahead.
I don't think we mentioned that on the podcast before.
Oh, sorry. Was I not supposed to?
No, I actually don't care. It's not, it's going to be pretty unavoidable. She's due in about a month. So,
man, that is crazy. And you guys didn't, you didn't do any kind of gender reveal or anything, right?
Nope. Don't want to know the gender till baby's born.
Have you picked out names at least?
We have gone over some, and then what we need to do is really finalize kind of a short list and then have that ready going in.
You guys are really shooting from the hip.
Yeah, pretty
seems
much.
Like everyone else I know that has had a kid has been like, I want to know the gender the second that you can see it. And then I'm going to like get everything themed to whether it's a boy or a girl. And we're going to have the name finalized.
Well, you know, what's interesting is like, so everyone we've told that we're waiting to find out, the reactions have been older people have thought that was awesome. And younger people have thought, I don't get it. Like, what are you doing? And I think there's like a real divide. And like, you know, like my parents' generation, I think finding out the gender was one of those things that was like not even always correct. You know what I mean? Like sometimes, it looks like a boy, but then it comes to, oops, it's a girl. Like, you know, whatever. Nowadays, it's like the technology and stuff. It's like, oh, no doubt. This is what, you know, you're having.
I'm surprised that you guys were able to actually avoid just finding out on accident. Because like, so friends of mine had a kid last year and like, they showed me printouts of like the ultrasounds they can do now. And man, it's like, it's like a fucking photograph almost, you know?
Yeah, you actually have to go in. There's this really intense, ultrasound they do at a certain point during the pregnancy and, go in and look at and measure every little tiny bit of this baby. Yeah. And, so you have to tell them ahead of that, hey, we don't want to know the gender. And it's a certain point.
Like they go, spoilers, okay, look away.
Yeah. Look away. I'll tell you when you can look again.
Oh my God.
Because you would know by looking just at the screen. And then the printouts that she gave us too were specifically ones that didn't.
A giant censored bar over the groin area. I don't know. Like, I think it's really cool that you guys are doing that, but like the planner in me, that would drive me fucking bananas because it's like, I don't know.
It's like hard not knowing, but the way Pam explained it was like, how many times you get to be like truly surprised in your life. And that's kind of true. I mean, we live in an age where you sort of know, you can know everything about anything at any moment, you know? And so this is something that's, it's cool to have it be a surprise, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's neat. So I'll be following baby Jared very closely. Here's a question for you. Are you guys going to be, so I'll ask you this question without my personal bias injected into it to appropriately be able to judge your response. Okay. Are you going to create an Instagram account for your baby?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, if I haven't made one for my dog yet, I don't know. But
okay, good. That was the correct answer.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, we did kind of bring that up the other night. We're like, you know, what are we going to do, like, posting pictures on social media? And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't really post anything now anyways. But I feel like once you have a kid, you want to share more. And obviously you have family and friends that, you know, want to see that stuff too that you don't get to see in person all the time.
Yeah.
So I imagine just my normal Instagram, Pam's normal Instagram, will probably be just filled with baby pictures. I don't think I'll make anything separate.
So what I was thinking about that, and I don't know, I might be an absolute lunatic with this, and like maybe I'll think differently if I ever have a kid, but like, I don't know if I want to even post photos of my kid online, like full yeah. stop.
I had that thought too.
Because like when you think about it, like it's really kind of interesting, and sorry for people listening to this expecting us to talk about iPhone games. This is a special occasion. When you think about it, like when we started putting shit on the internet, you know, like in like the AOL days, or I guess, you know, maybe after that, when stuff started to become a little bit more permanent on the internet, like you just threw shit up there because like there was no thought about like, oh, eventually this will be searchable, or eventually there'll be algorithms to find this, or like whatever else. And it just kind of like, and knowing like how much that has advanced to the point that like when I, you know, post a photo on Facebook that has Lindsay in it, like she gets automatically tagged without me doing anything because like they recognize her and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
it feels weird to be like blasting all these photos into like a algorithmically based database that's like constantly running like all sorts of weird AI shit on everything you upload.
Yeah. Yeah.
To think like what kind of profile could they build for you if they had every photo of every life stage of you online?
No, it's very creepy to think about. It's definitely something to think about. I'm not totally opposed to just not sharing stuff too. I mean, I can always start like a iCloud, you know, photo album with my family and friends that I care that might want to see baby pictures or whatever, and feel a lot more comfortable doing that. But it's definitely a strange thing because if somebody took all my baby photos and they were just online, how would I feel about that?
I'd be like that's
stoked about that. So when little baby grows up and all of a sudden has all these baby pictures that are just everywhere,
that's weird.
And that's someone like me that like I'm not a crazy social media person. I think about some people I know that it's like every beat of their life is documented in social media, including stuff with their kids. And how are they going to feel when they grow up someday and have their entire life is there somehow digitally on the internet?
That's what's weird to me about it is to think like, you know, like when I look through like old photos, you know, like old Polaroids and shit like that, it's like there's definitely a lot of pictures from when I was a kid where like I am very happy that only one copy exists and like just like doing like embarrassing stuff or you know, other things like that. And it's weird to think now that like so imagine, you know, you've got a universe where like you're one of those like Instagram moms, right? Where you just are uploading absolutely everything your kid does. And then like that kid goes on to like, I don't know, like, you know, run for president or something like that. And it's like, oh, here's a picture of baby Jared, maybe abusing the cat. You can't really tell. It looks like he's about to hit him.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know, like that's, it's just kind of crazy to think. And like, I don't know either.
The flip side of that is like, nowadays it's like kids by the time they're like in grade school are all about social media and posting every little thing too. So maybe they just don't care because they're growing up in this time. And it just feels weird to us because this wasn't around when we were kids.
Yeah. I mean, when I watch people that I know that have kids that are teenagers, like they, like it seems like Snapchat's kind of been traded for Instagram stories, but it's like, it's fucking annoying. It's like, dude, you don't need an Instagram story because we just got ice cream at McDonald's. Like this is a 99 cent ice cream cone. You're going to get 10 million of these in your lifetime. No one cares that you got it.
Yeah.
Why are you taking a video of it?
It's a trip and I probably will never get it.
So I don't know, but yeah, I guess so. That's you got any other off-topic shit we should talk about, or should we just make this the changing of the guards podcast?
If I really thought hard about it, I probably could think of something.
I'm back into watching The Walking Dead because I hate myself.
Oh yeah.
Do you watch Walking Dead?
Do they still make new ones?
Yes, they make. Of course, that show will be. I'll be 80 years old, and they'll still be figuring out.
I thought
how
it was
make...
supposed to be like the last season recently or something. No?
No, they did some bamboozle where like they switched who the main character is. I think I haven't gotten that far, but I definitely remember the commercials where it's like, oh, the final episode with Rick. Still going.
My recent thing I've been doing. I started. When did I start this? Probably beginning of December, because it was right when I signed up for Verizon and got free YouTube TV. I've been watching every episode of The Simpsons from the start.
Oh,
and
man, that's ambitious.
I'm on. It's interesting because it's like good background fodder, and especially the first 10 seasons are ones I'm real familiar with. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on like halfway through season 18 now. And it's been really interesting because there's a lot of them in those teen seasons that I actually had seen. It's funny because it kind of coincides with, you know, I've watched The Simpsons since it started.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, was very, it was like the most important thing to me ever to watch the new episode every week.
Right.
And then you get
Thursday night, remember?
Yeah.
When it's new.
And then you get into high school and then you move out of your house and then you're moving in with friends and blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly catching every new Simpsons stops being like a priority.
Yeah.
And so I'd really catch them very sporadically during like my 20s and stuff. So it was interesting to see that there was a lot that I had seen through those teen years, because I'd always imagine in my mind I've only really familiar with like the first 10 or so seasons. But I also feel like you hear so many people talk about how bad it got after a certain amount of time, and I don't think that holds true. Maybe it's helped watching them in a row or whatever. I definitely think there was a golden era, you know, seasons 2 through like 6, 7, 8. We're just like amazing years. But I still feel like it didn't necessarily get bad. It was always still really funny too. I haven't come across too many like clunkers.
Well, so my problem with The Simpsons now, which I will get into on this mobile games podcast, is that I feel like they made a poor decision in like trying to keep like, so The Simpsons, like the reason I feel like the good season, like the first 10 seasons were so good, is because it was just kind of like a timeless sitcom. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like there was no cell phones, like it was like, I don't know. And then when they decided like, oh, well, we'll kind of take the South Park approach and kind of like start to incorporate like very current pop culture references.
Yeah.
Like that to me, like going back to watching episode, because I, when it got on like Fox Now or whatever, it was like I watched an unbelievable amount of it. But like if you go back to watching Simpsons from like, I don't even really know when this shift happened, like 10 years ago or whatever. And it's like, oh, here's the episode about like the hanging chads in Florida. And it's like, it just feels extremely dated. And like with how all that panned out, like it's just kind of like awkward and not really funny anymore.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff. And I just kind of like really wish they just would have stuck to like silly things in Springfield. And like, you know, I guess they always had like weird little references, you know, like the character cameos that were like, oh, this is Michael Jackson, but not really kind of thing.
Yeah.
Versus like an entire episode and like, oh, Bart stands in line to get an iPhone kind of thing. You know, it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. That's funny.
Yeah. I think it's hard to not do that though, too. A show that runs so long. How many, you know, totally original ideas can you have? They're going into their, you know, they're in their 30th season or whatever. So it kind of makes sense. And you're right. If you having pretty freshly watched those first early seasons or whatever, they do point out current events and stuff like that at the time. Not so much in a way that makes it feel dated, I don't think.
But, I just seem to remember like it would be like a. If you follow the news and stuff, like there might be like a reference that like you would get, and it would be subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it would be
what's
like
really, what's really funny is to think back when The Simpsons was like the biggest rage the first few years it came out, and it was edgy, and it was considered so edgy at the time. And you go back and you watch these now and you're like, dude, damn, I can't believe this was considered edgy.
Dude, even early South Park, if you watch like South Park season one, I remember like feeling like I was doing something wrong watching South Park when it first came out. Now like you watch season one, it was like, man, this is what people were pissed about?
This was tame, yeah. That's kind of crazy.
That was like an entire extra step of Tame beyond South Park, even.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
It's kind of crazy. But I am really enjoying it. I think maybe once I start getting into the 20s, there will be more duds. But I do think even in the episodes that are kind of slow, there's still some really funny parts. I think one of the big things that happened is they almost knowingly became caricatures of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, here's a Simpsons episode and we're going to go on this wacky adventure and here's Homer doing his wacky Homer thing or whatever. Like, they were very self-aware of themselves, but they almost make fun of that too in a way that I think is really clever. They're like, oh, look, we haven't been to this country yet. Here's the episode where the Simpsons go to Africa or, you know, right. whatever. And they kind of poke fun at themselves for that, which I think is kind of cool too. So whatever, it's my favorite show of all time, hands down. And it's been really enjoyable to kind of revisit all the ones that I've loved and then catch some new ones here and there, too. Yeah. It's been kind of cool.
So I guess in conclusion,
mobile games.
If you want to follow what I'm up to after Touch Arcade, you can follow me on Twitter at Hodap or sign up at gameclub.io. That'll be my new thing. Jared's going to be taking over. A lot of cool shit coming up to be excited for with Touch Arcade. And you should watch The Simpsons. I think that's
pretty concise. Those are the bullet points I want people to take away from this episode.
Oh, Jared's having a baby soon.
Yeah, so that's also important. Watch The Simpsons, but also having a baby.
Yeah. So cool. Well, that's this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show. Sorry, there wasn't much actual on-topics talk. It was kind of a fun episode. Well, I guess I'll keep being on the podcast, so it's not
you'll keep being here, but in a way it's a farewell episode.
Yeah, I guess. So yeah, it'd really, really be cool if you know, you guys support the Patreon at patreon.com/touch arcade. If you aren't into subscription stuff, don't want to give your credit card to Patreon, I get it, got other problems with them, that's cool. But everyone shops on Amazon, which you can do through toucharcade.com/amazon. It's super appreciative. And if you want to send us an email, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. Actually, I haven't looked in that inbox for a while. I don't know if we got some stuff, but we might. so with that, we will catch you on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show. Thanks very much for listening.